Good afternoon. We're on the record. House Judiciary Committee is convening at 10 minutes past 2. In attendance are Representative Gruenberg, Representative Coghill, Representative Ramirez, and Representative Dahlstrom. Before us today, we have a bill which was previously heard by this committee during the 25th Legislature, an act further limiting the exercise of eminent domain, House Bill 49. We have before us our good friend, Representative Craig Johnson. Craig, if you want to come, we're very happy to hear this bill, and the committee is at your disposal.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and for the record, my name is Craig Johnson, Representative District 28. As you mentioned, House Bill 49 is the bill that passed through this body and almost all the way through the other body, dying a very slow death in the Senate Finance Committee. The problem that caused its demise in the Senate has been resolved with this piece of legislation. But I think it's important that we go back and look at the reason why this was brought forward in the first place. There was a Supreme Court case out of New London, Connecticut, where basically a shopping mall went in and cleaned out and razzed a residential section, some 78 houses, and it was ruled that it was okay to take someone's house for economic development. Found that to be somewhat egregious. And out of that came legislation that would prevent taking someone's home for recreational purposes. And that bill passed and became law. Having talked to enough people, a lot of Alaskans build a second home as a recreational property that they intend to retire in. And that recreational property will become their primary residence in the future. What HB 49 does is limit the ability of eminent domain, use of eminent domain, to take someone's recreational property for recreational purposes. It still allows for all the traditional uses. We can build a gas pipeline, we can have roads, all the uses of eminent domain, which are for the public good. I just don't feel, as a personal level, and this body voted last time, that to take someone's house or recreational property strictly for recreational means rises to that level of being in the best public interest. With that, if there are any questions, we have the drafter of the bill. Don Bullock is online.
He's in the room.
He's in the room, actually. I'm sorry. And we do have some other people to testify. But with that, Mr. Chairman, I think everyone who is sitting on this committee is familiar with this bill from the past. And I would be happy to take any questions. Pleasure of the committee.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. And we've been joined by Representative Lynn, Representative Gatto. Representative Gruenberg has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair, Representative Johnson, you said that there's a drafting change that cured the problem that occurred in the unnamed other body, who shall remain nameless forever. And I'm wondering if you could tell me what the problem was without revealing any confidential names of the other body.
Through the chair, Representative Gruenberg, the problem that occurred in the other body was a result of an amendment that happened, and I supported the amendment, I'll be on record saying that, which would allow for the Department of Natural Resources to inventory fishing streams and to replace the fishing streams if they remove them from the inventory of the fish, that they would find another place to replace them, cause to do an inventory. Quite honestly, that grew into quite a different amendment by the time it was done, with quite a substantial physical note resulting in the other body deciding that it was not worth it. And there was just no way I could amend or get it out without, it was such a, they felt so strongly about it that they wouldn't allow it to be amended out and to come to the other body. So this bill is going forward without that amendment at this point. Certainly if the body chooses to amend it again, I will be opposed to it, knowing what happened on the other side. The concept is not bad. It's just something that I think this is so important to me personally, and I think to the state, and I think you'll hear from other residents of the state, that to allow a personal preference to let it not go on is something I won't tolerate.
That was the Guerra Amendment on the floor.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So, good. This is just clean bill now.
Yes, sir. And the only other change in this bill and the previous bill is we defined on page 1, line 12, we actually defined what the trust was, which was also amended on the other side. A trust can hold, if a recreational property is held in trust for the family, that is considered ownership and cannot be condemned for recreational property. That was amended on the other side. So other than that, those are the only changes that were made. So allowing a trust on it as well as an individual.
If I may follow up, please. I guess maybe this should be for Mr. Bullock, since I'm going to be asking a technical question.
All right.
He could just.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Grunberg. Just quickly, are there any other questions for the bill sponsor, Representative Johnson? Members? Representative Gatto?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When we talk about the term eminent domain, it almost invariably we think of the state government or the federal government. But utilities also have the power of eminent domain. That is, they can take property for the purpose of erecting power lines. Is that somehow a part of this bill, that they're excluded, they're included? Because they're included unless we specifically refer to them.
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, this does not prohibit the traditional or the standard use of that would be utilities, pipelines, roads. Cities also have power of eminent domain, so it's not just the state. This would not prohibit those traditional uses of eminent domain for those purposes. This strictly says that if you want to, if you have, and I'll use an example that was cited earlier today, if you have a tennis court that's on your property and it's within 250 feet of your property, and the state or the city or municipality wants to come in and build their own tennis court, they will not be allowed to do that. So they will not be able to take your recreational property for another record. If they want to build a high line through there or a road, that does not protect any of, it does not exclude or preclude any of that from happening in this bill. This is strictly your recreational cabin versus an entity capable of doing eminent domain to put another recreational facility in its place.
Thank you. Is this on that point? May I just ask a general question of the bill sponsor?
Sure.
Representative Johnson, in our community in the interior, Representative Coghill and I, we built the Morris Thompson Cultural Center. And there was, if you remember, a single unique property that was an eminent domain take. And I don't think that it was a recreational structure, but I think that arguably the Morris Thompson Cultural Center could be considered a recreational facility or project, I think. I don't quite know what I would call that. Are you familiar with it? I mean, it was a big issue on talk radio. It happened in the paper every day. You enjoy my support on this, but I'm just asking the question of, if this law were in place, how would it have affected the swirl that surrounded that subject? If you want to add something, Representative Coghill.
Mr. Chairman, since he didn't know what the swirl was, I don't know how fair that is, but this does talk about seasonal purposes, whereas what we were talking about was a permanent structure that had multi-agencies. It had state, federal, Native Corporation, and other private entities involved in it, meant to be a permanent park structure. And so I think it would fall under a whole different category.
Okay.
But the taking was contentious, and anytime you take private property from somebody, it's supposed to be contentious. I think that's a public debate you have to have.
On that point, may I?
Representative Grunberg.
Mr. Chair, I think two things. I think the question would be whether we're not talking about recreational structure, because that's the use before the taking. I think what we're focusing on here, Mr. Chair, is the term on line 7, recreational facility or project. And the question would be whether the Morris Thompson thing legally would be a, quote, recreational facility or project. And I don't know what your intention is, Representative Johnson, but it might be not a bad idea, since Mr. Bullock's here too, if that term, I don't know whether it's defined elsewhere, but if it's not, whether you want to have a definition so you know whether Thompson center is or is not a, quote, recreational facility or project.
It is quite clear, Representative Johnson, that the support in the room is slipping away from you. So if you want to try and bring it back.
Mr. Chairman, thank you, and I appreciate that. But first of all, I think the structure that you were talking about wasn't a recreational property. It was a primary residence.
Right.
So this bill would have nothing to do with that taking. This doesn't deal with primary residence. Actually, we passed a bill dealing with that, HB 318, I think, 3 years ago.
Okay.
Which would have been much more addressed to your concern than this bill. This bill is strictly a recreational property. Now, and it also within 250 feet, so it doesn't, if someone's got 10,000 acres out there, it doesn't mean you can't get within, it's that 5-acre radius of the house. So those are the limitations on this, but this would have absolutely nothing to do with the Maury Thompson facility. That bill was passed before, I believe, I was in the legislature.
Well, I'm wavering, but I'm still listening. Representative Gatto?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. You know, when I hear the word recreational facility, I think of someone in gym shorts running or kicking a ball or something. Is the Performing Arts Center a recreational facility?
These need to be answered.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think it would be. The Performing Arts Center, for those of you who are around, actually replaced the Sidney Lawrence Center, which was a publicly owned facility.
Mm-hmm.
I still would have serious concern about taking, if someone wanted to do a football field and replace my football field, although a football field could be considered educational, so might not,
that's right,
might not even qualify under this in that case. But what I would say is that, and I'll just cut to the chase, if you own a piece of property in my district in South Anchorage, and the city wants to put a bike trail through it, that is strictly prohibited. That is a recreational use, taking a residence for recreational use. This bill would also say if you have a piece of recreational property in South Anchorage, which anyone who knows South Anchorage, there aren't a lot, would say that you couldn't do that for a recreational purpose. This is primarily there are a couple of instances and specifics. A resident here in Juneau has a recreational property on an island. And what this would prevent would be from the state going in and saying, we're going to condemn your property and we're going to make this a big recreational property, so you have to move off of your land that you've had through your family for literally 50, mm-hmm. 75 years. You have to give that up so that everyone can recreate. Now, if we need that for a boat harbor or for anything that's commercially that would be outside of the recreational, purely recreational, within the realm of what traditional eminent domain would be, that would not exclude that from happening. But if it's strictly for recreational purposes, that property will be protected. The same will be the property, Representative Gatto, if you decide you want to retire on Big Lake and you want to start building your home now and you start building your recreational property. It's a recreational property because it's not your primary residence, but that's where you're going to retire. That's where you're going to live when you retire. And then the state comes in and says, we want to put, we want to make this a park. They would not be allowed to do that under this. They wouldn't be allowed to do it if it were your primary residence. And just because it may be your primary residence in the future, this protects you from that as well. And there are a number of cases in Juneau on the Kenai River where houses have been built that are intended to be someone's primary residence. And it prevents the state or local government from coming in and saying, we're going to put a boat launch here. You have to tear your house down. And then we've got the argument, is it a commercial boat launch or not? So those things will have to be worked through. One of the things that we bear in mind is eminent domain is a legal proceeding. And there are two sides represented by attorneys in court.
Well done.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And coming from you, I take that as a real compliment.
Yeah, right.
Or not.
Representative Lynn and then Representative Grunberg.
And then, is there any history to this? Has this type of thing happened recently?
Through the chair,
Carl.
Representative Lynn, not in the terms of, not that I'm aware of. There are some people here from the real estate industry that might be able to answer those questions. This is basically goes back to that New London case that was for economic development where a neighborhood was condemned so that a mall could go in and the city could collect more taxes because they made more off the commercial than the other. So it's kind of, and this is an offshoot of that bill that passed, And then people came to me and said, well, what about my recreational property? I'm moving into that. Why should I not be as protected about my future home as I am the one that I'm living in now? And that's where that came from. And I think you'll hear the support of the real estate committee, our community. So in terms of actual, this is not one of those where this is a preventative measure. This is not going back and trying to fix something that's already happened.
Excellent. Thank you.
Representative Grunberg?
And maybe, again, I should ask this. Well, I'm going to ask you two questions, through the chair. If you would look, please, members would look on page 1, line 13. It says the owner of or beneficiary. A moment ago, I asked Mr. Bullock. I said, that reads strangely, and he said, and Mr. Bullock can correct me if I'm wrong by signaling me, that the word of should not be in there, that that's a typo. And do you have any objection if I move to take that out?
Mr. Chairman, if I might beg your indulgement to look over my shoulder as well, not having the benefit that the representative has to make sure that that's okay with the...
Representative Johnson, thank you for the asking. If you would carefully look over your right shoulder, you will see the thumbs up from Mr. Bullock. Can you give the signal?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate your indulgement because I do like to remain focused on the members, but I do appreciate the insight from legal, and I have no problem with that.
Well, at the appropriate time. And I have one other question, Mr. Chairman. And this gets back to what you were asking on the Morris Thompson issue.
Yes, sir.
In the same statute, and we don't have the whole statute, in subsection ASO 955-240, subsection H has definitions. And one of the definitions is a recreational facility or project. And this could be a long answer for a short question. And it's defined, if I can read this.
If you would please read it into the record, Representative.
Recreational facility, it starts out in this section, and then 5 says, recreational facility or project, and A says, means a facility or project, the primary purpose of which is recreational. That sounds circular to me, but that's what it says. Sub B, includes a park, trail, or pedestrian pathway, greenbelt amusement park, freshwater boat harbor, sports facility, playground infrastructure, whatever that is, or other facility related to or in support of an indoor or outdoor recreational facility or project. Doesn't include a highway pathway, and this other stuff doesn't apply. I'm not going to read the stormwater drains and stuff like that. But it seems to me, and I don't even, it's kind of a soliloquy here, doesn't seem to me a very precise definition, and maybe when Mr. Bullock comes up, we can explore that with him. Because it's a good question, and the whatever Representative Gatto was talking about a minute ago, I don't know if that was the Sullivan Arena or what you were asking about.
Performing Arts Center as a recreational facility, for some
Gatto?
People, that's why they go. That's
yeah, and so I don't know.
Robert, go ahead. You got it. You're on it.
But I don't know, and I don't know how you feel about this, whether that definition would be in practice vague or anything, and I don't know.
Okay.
I was wondering, do you have any thoughts on that?
Representative Johnson.
No.
Okay.
Wise answer.
Thank you.
I'll ask Mr. Bullock.
Thank you, Representative Grunberg. All right, Representative Johnson, have you done enough damage? You ready to step away?
We'll figure that out at the end of
all
the
right.
day, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. For the benefit of the members, I'll let you know that Wynn Menifee, Jim Cantor, and Joe Joyner from Division of Land Mining and Water are available at DNR, as is the Assistant Attorney General with the Department of Law in the Transportation Section. If we could hear from Carol Winton is here. Representative Johnson, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm.
Carol, if you and your colleague would introduce yourselves for the record, and if one of you speaks and the other speaks, just for the benefit of Susan, if you'd reintroduce yourself just so it's easier for her to follow.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yep.
I'm Carol Winton from Taku Real Estate here in Juneau, and I'm representing the Alaska Association of Realtors. And this is a...
And I'm Earl Champion, Associate Broker with Coldwell Banker Race Realty here in Juneau.
Welcome. It's nice to see you.
Thank you. The Alaska Association is totally behind this bill. It's what we were working towards probably 3 years ago when we did the original bill and supported that. I think it's a very important to the people of the state of Alaska who do own cabins or homes or someplace that they ultimately want to be able to retire to not have those taken for some other recreational facility or project. We totally support the bill.
I think it's a great bill, and we're in favor of it, and answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Are there questions? Representative Grunberg.
I don't know ethically if it's appropriate, Mr. Chair, but I think I should put on the record that Ms. Witten is our realtor. And I think I need to just put that on the record, a witness. I have an economic relation.
I think in this day and age, Representative Grunberg is a very relevant variable. And I appreciate your disclosure, and I'm sorry that it took them testifying to have you bring that forward.
You want to know about everybody who does business with me? I deal at cars, too, you know.
Representative Gatto, you two have a relationship with these realtors?
No. Since you're a realtor, let me ask you a question. Are one of you a realtor? Let me just say that I have a piece of property on the lake, and I have a lot with a house on it, and I bought the second lot just as a buffer. And that's, for me, that's my recreational property. Then the state of Alaska shows up and says, oh, we want to build a public boat launch. Now we have the situation, can they take my properties, which was recreational, and they'd say, no, it wasn't, it was a buffer. Is that not recreational anymore? And use it as a public boat launch, which I would say will drive me crazy. I don't want you to do that, but they can't. And I guess what I'm getting at is, how do you see that playing out?
Please reintroduce yourself.
Representative Gatto, through the chair. How you intend to use your private holdings is strictly your choice. And if you choose to leave it as a greenbelt, a buffer, non-developed, you're entitled to that. And with the adoption of this bill, you would have that protection.
That's what I'm asking.
Without it, probably an argument could be made, since there are no improvements, the damage is minimal, and they might choose to proceed with eminent domain.
Representative Gatto?
Thank you. And just to follow up, if I like my recreational property because I like to look at butterflies, or I like to look at birds, or I like to look at trees, that makes it recreational. I mean, that's what I'm doing there. The fact is that I have not developed it doesn't change it. The whole idea might have been not to develop it. So that would be a pretty good defense then.
You know, Representative Gatto, through the chair, you're absolutely correct. That's the whole purpose of
thank you.
Real estate ownership and the use of the same.
I do have a final question for you. Any other members have a question? Unrelated to the bill before us, Anchorage, for the first time in 20 years, is experiencing a contraction in their employment figures, the greater South Central area. Fairbanks and North Pole, we have seen expansions and contractions over the last 20 years, and arguably we are in a contraction now in the interior. I'm curious, while we have you here and we have the benefit of gavel to gavel in the room, can you take a moment and give us just a survey of the local real estate market and give us a sense of how it is with the issue of jobs disappearing out of Juneau, government-related jobs? That we're not deleting government jobs, we're simply moving them from the Juneau marketplace into primarily South Central and the Anchorage area. Is it having an effect on real estate values for the permanent residents of the Juneau area?
Mr. Chair, it is my opinion that it is having a definite effect on the local economy, the real estate sales. I think we have probably more homes on the market for longer periods of time selling for less than we have had in maybe 20 years, since in the 80s.
And you, if you'll reintroduce yourself, please.
Chairman Ramos, the sense I have is that the number of homes that are actively being sold is down 40% from where it was 3 years ago. That's the total number of homes. And that the, if you look at the ones that have sold in the last 12 months, they're coming in at least 10% under assessed value and sometimes even greater. I don't think of a single home that I've looked at where the sales price is equal to the asking price. They start at some number, it's off 10, 15%, and in many cases it's off 25%. There's generally 50 to 70 homes in what we call our pending, which means there's an accepted offer and a transaction just going through the process, and we're down to 23 this morning. So yes, we're being affected. We haven't had any fuel put in our economic engine for several years.
And in fact, with the shift in government jobs, you're actually have fuel taking out of the engine. And if you have 10 houses that are all for sale for $300,000 each and one sells for $290,000, then it drops the value on the other nine homes to $290,000 as well. And then $100,000 in aggregate real estate value has left the marketplace, right? Which is part of the point behind House Bill 49, is maintaining recreational facilities. Because they add value and they put money into the property tax roll. So I thank you very much for your remarks on House Bill 49 and my little safari. Thank you very much. Okay, Representative Grunberg, do you need to hear from Mr. Bullock, or are you satisfied? You'd like to hear from me, Mr. Bullock? Would you join us, please?
This is a follow up on your Carl question,
Representative Grunberg.
May I?
We were talking about that. I've never done before. Mr. Bullock.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Donald Bullock. I'm one of your attorneys in Legislative Legal Services.
The best one.
No, I'm not. I work with some of the greatest lawyers, and you hardly ever get to see them. But
yes, sir.
It's a remarkable group. I feel
yes, sir.
Honored
You're quite
to
right.
For them and for you.
You're the best one in the room.
Yep.
Representative Grunberg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You've been sitting here and hearing the Chair and Representative Gatto's questions concerning the definition of recreational facility or project, and that was not within the ambit of the bill as introduced, I realize, but since they asked the question, and I've distributed the definition from ASO 955-240 sub H, as in hotel F, 5. Is it clear from this whether a project like the Performing Arts Center or the Morris Thompson Center would be or would not be a recreational facility or project? Is that clear from the answer, from the language? And then if you say yes, I'm going to ask you whether these projects would be in or out of that definition.
Through the chair, Representative Grunberg, I'm not familiar with the particular project that you were talking about, but I believe you should probably be aware of, oftentimes you'll see cultural or recreational projects, yes. And whether recreational project, whether you want it to include cultural projects as well, say a museum or a public experience. There was quite a bit of work behind this particular definition of recreational facility or project as it appears in the statute. And you also see things that you don't normally see when we define things. We have a list of what it includes and what it doesn't include. And that was because of the difficulty of identifying just exactly what a recreational project would be. Also, with regard to Representative Gatto's question, the proposed legislation includes the term using it for seasonal recreational purposes. So recreational might have a broader definition than just this recreational facility or project as defined in statute. So it may encompass butterfly watching or your zone preserve, whatever it takes to recreate under the common definition for recreation.
Now, you were saying something about seasonal. Where does that appear in the text?
She In the bill.
Oh, in the bill.
It's on page 1, line 14.
I see.
Seasonal recreation.
Well, but through the chair, doesn't that refer to the property that's being taken rather than for the proposed structure? I'm focusing on the proposed structure that's going to be built.
That's correct. The definition in existing law in 0955-240H talks about the project that would displace that recreational structure without this.
And that's what, through the chair, that's what I'm focusing on, the definition of the proposed structure, because I thought that was what Representative Ramirez and Representative Gatto's questions went to. Not the structure that was taken, but the structure that's going to be built.
Right. I mean, you have to look at two things to qualify for this protection. First of all, is it a recreational project as defined in the law? If it's not, then you don't need to go any further. If it's probably, if it's one of the other permitted reasons for eminent domain, then that structure could be taken. If it is a project, a recreational project as defined in statute, then you go to the bill and look at what is this structure that's being taken. Is it one of the, is it a structure that's used for seasonal recreational purposes? So first you would start with a statutory definition, what kind of project is it? And then secondly, you would look at the property that's proposed to be taken and whether it's protected by the law as it stands, like the law would be after this was enacted.
Maybe I'm, through the chair, maybe I am misreading this, but I thought that the underlined language on lines 11 to 14 only helped define the underlined languages on lines 8 and 10, which refer not to the purpose for which it's going to be taken, but the structure that was, I mean, not the purpose for which it's going to be used, but the purpose of the structure that was on, that is on the land currently. Am I not correct in that?
Yeah, through the chair, Representative Gruberg, that's correct. That it is, that the boldface print on starting on line 12 and ending on line 14 describes the structure that is protected as a result of the proposed changes on lines 8 and on 10.
Well, Mr. Chair, with that,
Representative Gruberg,
I am still unclear as to the answer to your question and Representative Gatto's question. I am clear that that issue is not within the intent of the bill as currently drafted, and I see Representative Johnson nodding. And unless Representative Johnson wishes to go down that road, I will abandon that and just leave the issue open because I don't know the answer to that. I'm not going to get into it, though.
Representative Gatto has a question.
I do. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Bullock, line 7. Just four words, recreational facility or project. I don't see any brackets, commas, parentheses there. So I've discovered I can read it in two different ways. I can use the word recreational facility as a single phrase, add a comma, and then say, or project, which includes literally everything. Or I could say the word recreational and then bracket facility or project. Without the bracketing in there, am I wrong in the English language on how to interpret which of those two meanings? Is there one that's more acceptable, or is this simply a four words that I can't put together to equal what someone else may consider them to mean?
Mr. Chair, Representative Gatto, it's a phrase that there's no indication in the law that it's broken up. And so if you look at those four, the words recreational facility or project, and that phrase itself is included in the definitions in subsection H of that section. So it's a term that's lumped together and defined as a unit, recreational facility or project.
It's the word recreational, and it applies to a recreational facility or a recreational project would be the correct description.
Yes. Otherwise written as defined, the definition speaks to that phrase directly.
Okay.
Representative Gruber.
Through the chair to Representative Gatto, that is a term of art, quote, recreational facility or project. It would not be interpreted generally in
in the terms you're using. It would, the court would look at the definition in the statute which we handed out, mm-hmm. and to see whether in your, in the case of the PAC or whatever, it fell, it falls within the actual statutory definition. And my exchange with Representative, with Mr. Bullock a minute ago, was to determine whether the current definition clearly answers the question that you posed about the PAC and the question that the chair posed about the Morris Thompson Center. And I'm not clear that whether it does or not, but I am clear that Representative Johnson doesn't want us to proceed on that issue in this bill, and so I'm not
on that.
I hope that answered your question.
On that note, Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to make a motion.
I have an amendment.
Yes.
Object.
Yes. Well, I'm with Representative Dahlstrom. Let's move things along. Are there any more questions for Mr. Bullock? Mr. Bullock, what a pleasure, as always. Thank you.
It's an honor, sir.
Yes, it's a pleasure. Is there anybody else in the room? I don't see any. Are there any questions for Mr. Wynn Menefee or Jim Cantor? Thank you, gentlemen, for standing by. We have no questions for you. We'd like to thank both of the realtors from Juneau in the room. We appreciate you lending your authentic voice to this. Are there any questions for the bill sponsor? Would you like to have the bill sponsor come back up briefly to? Perfect. Then we will close public testimony. We brings it back to the committee. Representative Grunberg.
Mr. Chair, I would ask for amendment number one, which has not been drafted, but it's simple. It's on line 13 of page one, to strike the word of after owner.
Thank you. And Representative Johnson is amenable to that. We have amendment number one before the committee. Any objections? Seeing none, amendment number one passes. Are there any other amendments? Seeing no amendments, the chair would entertain a motion. Representative Dahlstrom.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I wish to move House Bill number 49, version A, with amendment number one, attached zero physical note and individual recommendations.
Are there any objections? Seeing none, House Bill 49 moves from committee. Representative Johnson, we thank you and your staff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And there is no other business before the committee. And may I just ask a question before we adjourn? Jane, what do we have on the docket for Wednesday? And so, pending notice, we have no business before the committee, so as it stands now, there is not likely to be a meeting on Wednesday. With that, I thank the committee.
Or Friday.
Or Friday. I didn't want to wish it away. With that, we're adjourned.
Thank you.